Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast here brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Ken, and we are talking to my four boys about ministry, what God's been doing in their life. Pastor Greg, who really is our voice for Word for Life and is in charge of our broadcast, is out on assignment. He is on vacation with his family, and we look forward to him being back with us. But thank you for tuning in and listening to us this morning. And we talked a little bit to Kyle about South Africa. Kyle is 27 and has been youth pastoring for 3.5 years in the Pennsylvania area, and now is really trying to discern what God's plan is for his life. And our missionary couple, Dave and Julie Rudolph, who are there on the southern coast of South Africa. We had Pastor Steve take a group of teens this last summer, and Dave and Julie had dinner, I think, with you, didn't they, Kyle, and looked at you possibly coming to help him in South Africa. So he just got back. He shared on our last broadcast some open doors there with South Africa. And now we're talking to my second son, Kevin, who is 24. He's happily married. Been married how long now, Kevin?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. To Becca. So the Keltners finally got a young lady in the house besides mom. So the boys are pretty excited to have someone out. Well, your mom's really
excited.
Yeah, mom's very excited to have someone that she can communicate with on the female side of life there in the Keltner family. And we don't really get to have the guys around that much. They're out in ministries in the various parts of the U.S. here. And so Christmas time to come back, we thought we would do a quick broadcast with them. So Kevin's telling us a little bit about Cross Connections. And I guess what surprised me about Cross Connections is that it's not just the churches, but the public schools are involved in these youth ministries or youth centers that they set up. And you're almost kind of like, I think you're the program director, but you're kind of like a glorified youth guy too, right?
Yeah, that's basically how it feels. Yeah, I do a little bit of office work, a lot with the students, and also a lot with the volunteers. So it is like a youth pastor almost.
Yeah. Well, why don't you share with us maybe some open doors God's given to you with the gospel?
We're very blessed to work in the environment that we're in. One of the great part about it is the students that you work with are just, they're honest with life and with struggles of life. Whereas oftentimes in a church, you have kids that are kind of acting like things are all together and they have everything right spiritually when they're just hiding things. But we're fortunate to have just the inside look to see the good, the bad, and the ugly sometimes of what the students are going through. On Wednesday nights, we do a Bible study called Roundtable, where we let the students hang out in the center and skateboard, and they love to play basketball. And then we take them over next door to our resource center, and we usually have pizza or something for them in there. And then we just get a chance to open up God's Word and kind of share truth and do our best to show how it relates to their lives. And so we've been able to see a lot of opportunities for the gospel there, and just also a lot of the young men just opening up about struggles in their life, dealing with maybe fatherlessness or just anger. And just being able to be there for them and just show them that we do have a Father in God and we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And so that's been exciting to see there.
Yeah. Would you say most of them come from dysfunctional families?
Most of them, yeah, it would be a stretch to call it a family. So.
Yeah. You know, as you guys look at it, you know, you've all had some aspect of working with teens. As I look at it, I look at teens really rebel against relationships. Not just necessarily against authority, but against relationships. Prime example, you know, a father who's non-existent in their life, and then maybe he tries to come back into their life, and there's hurts there, and it's really about the relationship. I mean, is that something you would agree with, or something you've seen? Or
yeah, there's usually, they've been burnt in the past by somebody, and that kind of gives them a lot less reason to trust somebody in that same position or just a male in general. So being able to come alongside them and just show them that you love them no matter what they're going through and what they're dealing with is huge.
That is huge. What do you think, as you look at it, and you guys, any of you can pop in here on this, but what do you think with teens they absolutely just hate, whether it be in a family, whether it be on a ball team, whether it be at church or in their school? What do you look at and see that teens absolutely would hate or despise with let's say, people in authority?
One of the biggest ones I'd say is hypocrisy, and just that old phrase, do what I say, not what I do. They want to imitate what they see, and they see a bad example, and your words say one thing, but the way you live says another. That turns them off right away.
And I think the toughest place to live the Christian life is going to be at home or even in my home church. I mean, people kind of get to see areas in our lives that we make mistakes. And so I think hypocrisy is a big aspect with that. I think we live in a world of hypocrisy. I don't think it's just in the church. The world we live in is hypocritical. But as believers, what a great opportunity to be authentic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there is a quote out that the older generation wants to know what's true and they'll believe it. The younger generation says, show me what works and I'll believe it. So when they just are told truth and then it's not lived out, they're not going to trust it or believe it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great opportunity and responsibility. That was from Keith, and we'll get to Keith here in a minute. He's actually in Akron, Ohio, ministering. Kevin, anything else with Cross Connections? I mean, things that you're looking to do, God trying to open up some more opportunities there to minister to the teenagers in the area. And I would assume they're in need of some male influence and examples in their life and also just love. They just need to be loved. What are some other opportunities you look at God giving you guys?
It's exciting. In the last few years, Cross Connection has gone from a place that was being petitioned against by the community to be shut down to in 3 or 4 years here. Now the community is behind it. We have a close relationship with the public school, many churches. And right now we're actually kind of bursting at the seams in the space that we're at. It's a small building. We have a caged off area for basketball that has a max of 3-on-3. And
that sounds scary. Caged off basketball, 3-on-3, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of a physical game in there sometimes with getting pushed into the cage. But we're really just, I mean, bursting at the seams. But we do have a great relationship with the community, the police even. And we're kind of looking for a new space, somewhere where we could really just give a better environment for the students to be able to have a fun time and just a safe place to be. And we're also always looking for volunteers that are willing to come in and share their lives with the students to kind of impact them for Christ.
Well, Keith, let's go to you. You in ministry, you're kind of your position is intern, and they're helping pay for your master's study right now. And you primarily are working with the young adults. And what's God been teaching you through that process?
Yeah, the whole story of how I even got out there is definitely one that God had his hand on, not only on my side of it, but also on the church's side, that they were looking for over a year and a half for a guy. And it's just been so cool being out there with Pastor Jeff Bogue, who is the senior pastor out there. And he does a great job. He really just gives me the freedom to go out and, you know, just try new things to reach this generation. One of the coolest things we have going on is the Akron of University is about 15 minutes away, and it is very open to us having groups and being able to just be on campus talking with people. Something that God's really been teaching me, definitely through being out there, growing up in the church, I always believed, you know, God is out to get me, and he is just kind of hovering over my shoulder. And that's just a view of God that I had just from, I guess, really not getting in the Word and really studying it as I was younger and even through college. But knowing that God is a God of love who isn't out to get me has probably been one of the biggest things God's been teaching me. And I could see it even affecting this generation as well, because what I see out there is this generation has had the gospel or Christianity put in their face a lot. And Jeff always reminds us, you know, it's not about trying harder, but it's more about downloading Jesus's love for us, because he ties it back to John 14:15, that really how we view God is going to be how we hear him, and how we hear him is going to be how we interact with others. And the verse says, when you love me, you will obey my commandments. So it's not like I have to obey God's commandments to show my love, but it's downloading his love and the rest will follow.
You know, Martin Luther, when you're talking about looking at God as a God who is just out to knock you flat, Martin Luther I was reading some of his biography, and some of the struggles that he faced was right along those same lines. I mean, at that point, he was a monk. You know, he spent all of his time just wanting to get as close as he could to God and to pray to God. And, you know, the reports are he spent hours just trying to talk to God because he was just viewed God as angry. And then he came across that passage in Romans, "The just shall live by faith." And it really just opened him up as far as how he could live in the presence of a just and holy God. He looked again that we can live our life by faith, that the God that we serve that's holy and just is also a God who's loving. And I think Paul said it well. He gave us a gift that's indescribable. It's the love that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And that's another thing, Keith, especially in the generation and the group you're specifically targeting to work with, being college. I mean, they're looking for truth. What is truth, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a wide gap in age. Go from 18-year-olds to 28, and the maturity level alone is a humongous gap. But the college students, what I've started to pick up on, it is an extended adolescence period where there are people when they're 23, 24 years old still in college, and they just have that sense of they don't want to grow up yet.
Yeah, they're still living at home.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of them doing that.
Yeah.
But it's really getting them to start looking at their faith and kind of owning it, where it's not just something that they were just raised up in the church or something that they're just believing because their parents believe, but being able to get in the Word and discover and learn about God's love for themselves and not just be spoon-fed.
We had a missionary over in Austria who, you know, and Austria is a huge think tank of academia, and he was on the train heading back to his house, and he was reading his Bible, and a college-age young lady came up to him, and she said, is that a Bible you're reading? He said, yeah, it sure is. And she goes, oh, well, I want you to know I don't believe in absolutes. And I loved his response to that. He said, let me see if I got this straight. You're telling me you absolutely do not believe in any absolutes. And she kind of got backed in the corner because, yeah, she'd already given her first absolute, because it comes back to truth. And Jesus said, he is the truth. He is the way. No man can come to the Father but by him. Even Pilate was asking Jesus, what is truth? And so I think what a great time you find yourself living in, Keith, with that group of young people to let them see truth and what truth is. Well, we'll pick this up again in one other session with Keltner Boys here. And we're glad that they're with us. And thank you for tuning in to Word for Life. And we ask that you would just ask God today to give you opportunities to minister in a way that will bring Him glory. And so we look forward to our next time together. Thank you so much for tuning in.